Welcome to the Hearers and Doers podcast. I'm Becky Kaiser, and I'll be the host for this show. Do you need a space where you can show up just as you are? This is your place. Dry shampoo, crying kids, messy house, and barking dogs are all welcome here. Do you need a cheerleader who sees all your amazing potential and unique ways God's called and created you? Done, I'm signing up as captain. I'm a certified life coach and Bible teacher with decades of experience who isn't afraid to tell you the truth you need to hear. Some weeks I'll be sharing practical and encouraging and sometimes correcting shows, and other weeks I'll be introducing you to new and old friends. You ready? Let's go, my friend.
I wanted to talk to you today about imposter syndrome. This might not be something that you've struggled with before, but it is definitely something I struggle with all the time. And right now, being in the middle of a book launch, which is taking something that is so special and dear to me that I'm so excited about and putting it out into the world, is making all my imposter syndrome roots just want to grow deeper and deeper and deeper. A definition from betterup.com says that imposter syndrome is the condition of feeling anxious and not experiencing success internally, despite being high performing in external objective ways. This condition often results in people feeling like a fraud or a phony and doubting their abilities. Essentially, what this means is you feel like a fake. You feel like this is happening, but this isn't real. Or yeah, maybe on social media, it looks like I'm a great mom and wife, but really I'm terrible. Or sure, I just posted about my job promotion. However, I'm really struggling and unhappy in my job. That we all, from time to time, struggle with imposter syndrome. And right now I am in that. As I said, I'm in the middle of this book launch, which y'all, it is, it is the biggest roller coaster of emotions. And I'm not a super emotional person. It is such a roller coaster of emotions of, oh my goodness, this is so exciting. This just happened. Somebody just shared this, to this number wasn't what I had hoped it would be, or this person didn't share about it and I thought they would, or whatever. It can be big to super small, and you just ride that roller coaster. And this time I've tried to be really, really intentional of just not caring what the numbers are, trying to not find my worth in that, not find my value in that. And last time I released something, it did really, really well. And the numbers for this book are going slower, but the content for this book, y'all, is so good. And I think I saw it as I was writing it, as I was editing it, as I read it for the audiobook. It's like, Lord, I just believe this is going to change lives. And it's just like, you know, like when you see something, you're like, this is going to be so good. And it's just being a slower release than my, oh, this will be in Walmart and on the Today Show and Good Morning America. It's not going to happen like that today. Anyway, it's just having a moment of like a bit of a pity party that it hasn't been this like miracle book, which, y'all, that never happens, just so you know. Like, writing a book is so hard. Getting a publisher is so hard. Getting an agent, it's so hard. And it just takes a long time to build all of this. And, but with this book specifically, I wasn't being super realistic with the expectations, even though I believed so much in the book itself. And as I'm holding myself up against what feels external, that's when the imposter syndrome came up against me. And I don't know why I'm sharing this, other than I just felt like I needed to put it out there. I needed to let others know sometimes what you see isn't everything. I told you I texted a few friends a couple of days ago when I was just feeling like, it's just, I was expecting it to be this huge splash. Like, my book is called But God Can, and wouldn't it just be the coolest thing ever if, like, my first book, it's technically my second book, but it's my first true nonfiction book. Wouldn't it be the coolest thing if, like, my first book was just the smash hit, which doesn't happen, or like less than 1% of books for it happens. But I was like, wouldn't that be a good But God Can story, right? If this book, if I leap in faith and do this, and then it's a smash hit instantly, that would be like, I can't but look what God can do. But I say it in the book, and I say it anytime I talk to people. Oftentimes, the story's the other way around, isn't it? Oftentimes, it's, okay, God, you're asking me to trust you. And so when I texted some friends the other day, I said, I feel like God's asking me to live out my book when I wanted him to live out the book, right? Like I wanted him to do his part of the equation. And where I'm at with all of this is I'm feeling like I'm just having to trust God to do what only he can do, because that's really all any of us could do. So I wanted to share that with you. I was so encouraged by reaching out to some friends and just saying, hey guys, I'm struggling today. I'm struggling with imposter syndrome. I'm struggling that I'm not good enough for this, that I can't remember all that I exactly said, but I told them I was struggling. I reached out to them. I let them know that I needed their prayer. I needed their support, and that I wasn't okay at that moment. And I was flooded with so many text messages and phone calls and emails that day, mostly text messages from friends who were just saying that they were praying for me, who shared encouragement, a reminder of what God does. And as they were encouraging me, it made me think, man, I just want to encourage somebody else too, that whatever you're going against right now, whatever it is you have going on in your life, when we look up and around at others, that's when we trip, right? My imposter syndrome is only rooted in the fact that I know how other people's books go. And the truth is they're less than 1% of the population of authors. And I don't know what sacrifices they had to make to get to where they are. And I don't know how much help they might have had on their end or whatever, how long it took them to get there. Because we only know what we see and what we assume to be true. And so I know for me, imposter syndrome flares up the most when I am stuck in a pattern of comparison. And that's one of those things I had to just really repent of this past week of, okay, God, it doesn't matter. Like, it just doesn't matter. Comparing both to how my life had been before, my experience previously, and also what I see others experiencing, because I don't know everything. And also, what might God be up to, right? Like, what a greater story of, I can't, even though my background is in public relations and marketing, I can't make this spread far and wide. But it is going to spread far and wide in God's time, in his way, to his specific people. So anyway, that might have made no sense to you, but I just wanted to share where I'm at so you heard it from somebody else. And I wanted to share with you also, I'm reading through the Old Testament right now with some friends, and we're in the story of David at the moment. And I wanted to just share what some of my big takeaways from the story of David and Goliath, which is a very familiar story. If you grew up in the church at all, you heard about David killing the giant. But I just wanted, if anyone had the right to have imposter syndrome, it was David. Because here he was, and he had been chosen by Samuel, anointed as king. But even then, when he was chosen by Samuel, his dad didn't even present him as an option. Like, that's how much he was not enough, how much he didn't belong. But that's the one God chose, the least likely of all. And then here the Israelites are fighting the Philistines. And David was just coming to bring snacks to his brothers. And everyone was like, what are we going to do? This giant is so big. We aren't strong enough. And here's David goes before the king, Saul, and says to him, let no one, and this is 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. Let no one lose heart on the account of the Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. And Saul replied, you're not able to go against the Philistines. Listen, others are going to tell you you're not able. My path in being an author is filled with so much rejection, even though it's filled with a ton of acceptance as well. There were many who said that this couldn't happen. There were many that said I couldn't do this, myself included. But David said to Saul, this is what David said back to Saul. So Saul's saying, listen, you can't, like, you're too young, you're not able, all this stuff. And then David said back to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep when a lion and a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock. And I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. Then it turned on me and I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistines. So Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. David had confidence in God and his ability, even though he was the least likely, even though he wasn't even trained to fight. He was like, you know what? He took confidence from what God had already done in his life before. And he said, I've already beaten a lion. I've already, like, with my bare hands beaten a bear. And that's a great reminder too of God allows us to go through some things to give us confidence, further confidence in future things. Then we see Saul say, okay, he wanted to protect him. So he put his coat of armor on him, his bronze helmet. David fastened his sword over his tunic and he tried to walk, but he couldn't walk around because he just wasn't used to it. That's the imposter syndrome. That's where I got, like, stuck of. And then David said, I just need to take this off. And I'm going to take my slingshot. I'm going to take some stones and I'm going to go. That's it. That's what he took with him because that's all he had. That's what he knew. That's his confidence wasn't in some outwardly armor, but it was in what God had already used in his life to bring him to the point that he was right now. This is speaking something to me again. I want you to hear that. You don't need someone else's quote unquote better than you stuff, better than your stuff. You don't need someone else's approval. You don't need a certain position or place. God chose you. God sees you. He has already equipped you for this. Whatever is in front of you right now, whatever it is, God's already equipped you for this. You may not feel like it. It might be terrifying. But if you've tried putting on other people's armor, if you've tried looking like others so that you can win, so that you can be successful, quote unquote, stop wasting your time. Stop wasting your time. That's imposter syndrome, that we're trying to be how we think others think we should be. We're trying to be how we think we should be. Where instead, let's just accept who God's created us to be already. You, friend, are enough. In all the ways you're not enough, God makes you more than enough. You can't, but God can. You aren't supposed to be able to do this on your own. That's the gospel message. That's where we say, God, I can't fight the giant. But then we see David go up to the giant and he said, listen, I come against you, Goliath, in the name of the Lord Almighty. The battle is the Lord's. And he ran quickly towards the giant. He wasn't trepidatious. He wasn't terrified. He wasn't anything. He was just confident. He ran towards the fight. So my question for you, and the question I've been asking myself the past couple of days, are you running towards the fight? Are you free enough to run? If David had Saul's armor on, he would be trudging up to the giant because it didn't fit him. It wasn't meant for him. So you're hiding. Are you so busy you can't even run towards your giant? Let's get free. Let's find a better way. Let me pray for you, and then you can go on to whatever else you were doing. Father, thank you so much for my friend listening right now. Lord, I pray that just as David said to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. I pray for my friend right now that whatever she has before her, whatever giant thing is in front of her, that she wouldn't lose heart, but that you would help her to go and fight with the strength you've already placed within her. May she not put on anything to try to be like anyone else, but may she just simply own that she is your creation, that she's perfect just the way she is. We love you, Father. We're thankful for your word. Help us to trust you. Help us to trust you enough to take off this armor we think we should be wearing. Help us to trust you enough to run up to this giant, even though it seems really, really dumb. Lord, would you do a miracle that only you can do? We can't do this, God, but we believe that you can. And we're asking that you would. And so in your name we pray. Amen. I love you, friend, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
James 1:22 in the ESV says, "Be doers of the word and not hearers only." Or the Message translation says it even more bluntly, "Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear." This podcast is called Hearers and Doers because that's the kind of people we are committing to becoming, women or men who choose to not just hear what is true, but actually live it out in our day-to-day lives. I'd love to hear your big takeaways from today's episode. Would you share them? Post them on social media and be sure to tag me at Becky Kaiser. And if you love today's episode, don't forget to give it an awesome review because that helps others find the show too. And you can always text the link to friends so they don't miss it either. Hope you have an awesome rest of your day, my friend. Love you so much.